Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. And this is the last of our Australian series of rants with Edwin. Hi Edwin, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Martin. I'm doing well. But would you like to be in the Trumpers' shoes? I don't know. I wouldn't want to be in America. My family there are absolutely shitting bricks at the moment, not knowing what's going to happen.
Well, there's so many things around the world. I have to say I've picked a very interesting time to stop making shows for a few days while I pack up and go to the UK. Right, what with this banking crisis and UBS and Credit Suisse and six central banks all around the world now throwing liquidity all over the place through these US dollar swaps. Anybody who thinks that this is actually settling down and we're not going to see issues, I think are fooling themselves. This feels horribly like, to me, the early foothills of the global financial crisis back in 2007. I think we've got a long time to play out yet.
Add to that, rumors of wars and Poland mobilizing 300,000 troops, I hear. I mean, these are shit that Dusty tells you, right? Just don't know what's going to happen. You know, I mean, up is down is up, left is right is left. War is good, peace is not. I mean, I just don't know. I mean, Dan's the bean, Albo's a legend. You know, I mean, I don't know. Look, everything's just all over the place. But look, going back to what you said earlier on, yeah, this is the last Monday evening property rant. But as of 3 weeks, 4 weeks' time, it's going to be the international Monday evening property rant. I like that. So
absolutely, Edwin. We'll be back with the same focus on Australia. Plus, begin to hear a little bit about what's going on in the UK, because I'll be running the surveys there as well. And I can tell you that there are some very interesting dynamics there, some of which are mirroring what's happening in Australia and others which are going in slightly different directions. So, for example, in the UK, they've just extended the help to buy program, which is effectively a government-backed scheme, which was due to sort of fall over quite quickly, but because they couldn't get builders to actually build all the properties, they've now extended it further, right? So, I mean, there are so many mirrors and parallels with what we're seeing in Australia. I think it'd be quite interesting just to make some of those broad comparisons too.
Look, it will be. One of the things that I did want to talk to you about tonight was, at the moment, it's just anecdotal, but it seems to have concurred across three different offices and three different, from the same region. I won't name the area or the suburb at the moment, but the agents from the different offices that I've been speaking to personally, they've been telling me that there are a lot of sales going to come on market in this particular area, and all because of divorces. So that's going to be something that, look, I know property, financial separation and the like take a bit of time when you get to property settlements and with divorce situations and separations, which is a sad state of events. But are we seeing the aftermath of the lockdowns? Yeah, where people just decided they really can't live with each other. They can't live in close proximity. And apart from that, you add to that is the mortgage stress, the financial stresses that a lot of people are under and are in. And who's to say? But it'll be interesting to see whether you can include those sort of things in your surveys. Because as I said, the third agent on the run last week for the same region, same area, and I just thought it'd be something that I'd like to talk to you about, to see if you could pick those things up in your surveys.
Well, we do actually have some of that information in the surveys, and there's definitely significant disruption coming down the pipeline. As you say, some of it's to do with what happened through COVID and then the following through from that. We've also got this continued issue with a lot of SMEs who've had difficulty through COVID, expected to recover but didn't, and now are under significant pressure. And the other interesting factor, and again, I'm seeing it really, really strongly now in the latest data, is those property investors, they are leaving the stage very, very quickly. And a lot of them are now panicky. They just need to get out. They want to get out because they think it's going to be a significant tipping point. So I think combined, we'll probably start seeing a little bit more stock coming on market at some point. Well, that'll change the numbers, right? But the interesting thing, of course, is the RBA in their most recent bulletin did actually admit they don't really quite know what's going on with some of these fixed rates, you know, and how it's going to play out and what households are exposed. And they should read my surveys. I've probably got more information about that than they've got in their databases. So it'd be interesting to see how that plays out. And July is the key month there, Edwin. That's when the biggest number of fixed rate loans come up, and people will be jumping up onto these higher rates. Now, of course, there's an expectation, thanks to the change in the bond rates and the international financial crisis that we're in at the moment, that maybe the RBA won't lift rates and maybe rates will drop more quickly. But I'm not quite convinced. I think we'll probably see some further shenanigans. And of course, we've got the Fed and the Bank of England later in the week going to talk about their rates. And again, markets are now speculating they won't lift, but we'll see. Uncertainties, plenty of uncertainties. Wherever you look, there are uncertainties, right? I can't think of anything more uncertain than the uncertainty. And there's more certainty around certainty than uncertainty.
Well, one thing we can be certain about is one thing we know for sure, Martin, is that Sydney's become the cocaine capital of Australia. You know, hooray for Colombian gold. So we spoke about it. We were talking about it how long ago, and now it's in. And I dare say that a lot of it is going to be predominantly in the eastern suburbs and in the North Shore. That's where you would get a lot of this, because this is what our legals have been telling us. Look, we jest about it again, but the thing is, it does have ramifications ongoing, and we're able to see significant patterns. Some of the eastern suburbs, as we brought out in that chat that we had with Louis Christopher, that's where we also see a lot of the family stress scenarios where they've got to start doing away with the toys and other side dishes that they may have. So, we've talked about it. These are the things that are occurring and are happening. And we're proud to being the first or on the go, but it's just something that some of these underlying currents that do shift and do have be it nominal, be it significant impact on the property market and how the demographics moves around Sydney, which is what I've been looking at for a number of decades now. And that's how we can see the shifts and the changes in the different parts, in the different LGAs and in different suburbs. And that's what we're all about. But how do you like the new meme, Martin? The new meme for the week with Albo.
Yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it? Do you want to buy an off-the-plan apartment in Blacktown? Blacktown, of course. Where else?
Yeah, we'll see. This is the stuff that Dusty sends me, right? So I'm not putting my name to this. I don't want to be swatted by three-letter agency here in Australia. So, and there's a conversation that Dusty overheard, Albo and the leader of the free world having. I hear you're allowing more Indian immigrants into Australia. I was raised by the Comanche Indians. Says,
I love it. very good. True and story.
Of course, Albo doing his thing, trying to spruik the property market overseas. Tries to sell good old Joe off to plan apartments in Blacktown, because that's where you can break the rental ceilings really quickly. You can actually go into bedletting, hot bedding there in Blacktown and in parts of Lidcombe and Bramble and the like. So yeah, who knows? And it's the owners of legit construction.
Very good. Well, the whole property shenanigans continues, and of course Queensland's another example of shenanigans, isn't it? Shenanigans squared, really.
Yeah, well, that's it, Martin. This is, look, no matter what, and I'm talking about Sydney, right? So, again, I don't go into detail about other areas, but all these changes, all these ad hoc changes or on-the-fly changes that premiers want to bring in and state governments want to bring in to what they believe is an answer for some political grift getting on the side. I don't know why they do these things ad hoc. But all this is going to do, in my opinion, is going to deter investors from buying in the Queensland. And given the fact that from your posts and all the other videos that you've been doing about how the Queensland market is really retreating, and there's a number of people on particularly on Twitter that are keeping a close eye on what's happening there in Queensland. It's just two different markets. Whereas you look at the Sydney market, in a lot of the areas where investors would go into, they're going toe to toe with first home buyers. So, yeah, on one side of the border, you got politicians, shooting more holes into the bowels of the property boats, the property ships, and on the other side of the border, you've got all these bailouts, adding more fuel into the property fire. But it's going to be very interesting to see what happens moving forward with the policies, with the federal policies, and also the individual state policies, how that's going to affect the property arena. And yeah, look, it's only getting more and more interesting. But more so than ever, we say that you say over and over again, and I concur with your thoughts there. More so than ever, if you're going to go into the property market to invest, you really got to be granular, regardless of what state you want to go into, regardless of where you want to park your money, and you got to know what you get getting yourself into. You got to be prepared to do a lot more due diligence than pinning the tail on the donkey sort of thing. Yeah, I'll go to this state and I'll buy here, or I'll go here, or get persuaded to buy here or there because of all these things. Now, is it a bad thing for a rental ceiling or cap? Kept rental in a lot of areas. Is it a bad thing for new policies or regulations to come in to really monitor the property industry when it comes to rentals? Not necessarily, but to just blur it out all because they want to give the Labor politician here in New South Wales a pick-me-up so as it can get more votes, thinking that if I vote Labor, all that shit's going to happen here. No, folks, it's not going to happen here because these rental ceilings that are happening here in New South Wales, predominantly in Sydney, are being broken, and they've been broken everywhere because of one thing, and that is because you've got the population that can do it, and you've got the immigration, the immigrants or the demographics here in Sydney that will absorb the shared homes, the shared accommodations, the room lettings, even the hot beddings. And that's the unfortunate thing. So to me, I just saw it as the Premier of Queensland, trying to sort of give her boy here in New South Wales a bit of a boost, saying, look, basically, if you vote Labor, you could this is what we're going to do, and we're going to look after you. Unfortunately, the renters and the first home buyers, you and I've said for a while, they're the fodder. They're the unfortunate fodder. They're the pawns in this chess game.
Absolutely. Well, I did a quick show yesterday on the Bank of Mum and Dad, and just showing how the number of first-time buyers has dropped, but the number of first-time buyers using the Bank of Mum and Dad has dropped even more because, of course, the Bank of Mum and Dad now has a real problem. Their own property value has not gone up, and their superannuation balances are going down. And so suddenly there's a change in the weather in terms of demand and supply and all those things. So many cross currents. But I have to agree with you. A lot of these thought bubbles, a lot of these one-liners, I mean, they're all the way seeded through the the New South Wales political campaign. Of course, 25th is when the election is. And we've got similar thought bubbles in Queensland too. Nothing behind it, right? Just a sort of a one-liner. And that's the problem. I am sick and tired of all these one-liners, all of these dog whistle strategies trying to attract attention to particular cohorts who might actually put a vote in the right place for the particular candidate as a result. Nothing to do with thought through policy, nothing to do with strategic investment for the future of secure housing, which is what it should be about, but all about winning votes and trying to play a political game. And I'm sick and tired of the housing sector being effectively just a political pawn.
Look, that's what it is. So like I said, if you got a bit of money, I don't know about your boys, John Adams, I mean, silver went backwards today. So I think I'm sort of more inclined to look for a caravan rather than buying silver. But
well, I'll tell you something. There were a couple of caravans for sale. People are selling their toys, right? And it's interesting. They've both now managed to sell them, but in each case, they actually had to drop the price a little, but somebody else picked them up. Right, and it goes back to your thesis, right? That actually a caravan is a good investment at the moment.
Yeah, a caravan or those big army tents. You can basically fit five, six, seven adults in. That's the unfortunate and sad state of affairs that we're in. I mean, the same state of Queensland. They're talking that they've got something close to 300,000 people nearing homelessness. Which is staggering amount of people. We're not talking about a third world nation here, Martin. We're not talking about like the shit that's going on in South Africa and blackouts and people fighting for clean water and the like. Or we're not in the Wild West or the last frontier. We're meant to be leaders in many ways. We've perhaps got the best farming lands. We've got the best grazing lands. We've got the best of all sorts. But these politicians, they just F it up really, really well, and just get worse. And again, goes back to who's suffering the most here: the renters and the first home buyers that want a piece of the action, want to give their families security, whether it be buying a unit, buying a townhouse, buying a villa, buying a freestanding house, whatever they fancy. They're just getting smashed, and because of this, like you said, these thought bubbles, all these thought bubbles and political, they're just promises just to get their boy or get their girl in power for the next 4 years, and it's the first home buyers and the renters that unfortunately miss out in the short term and long term.
No, I agree with you. As like I said, it's a political game rather than anything more strategic in terms of solving the underlying issues, and that's been the problem for the last 20-odd years, I'm afraid. Anyway, interesting observation now from Macro Business, who quoted Shane Oliver and basically said that, there might be a slight uptick in Sydney, but the house price bounce will be short-lived. And it's interesting because Shane Oliver said the rapid return of immigration and foreign students, very tight rental markets, 9% plunge in prices, which is the biggest fall since 1980 on CoreLogic data, may have attracted bargain hunters not so impacted by the surge in interest rates. Very low levels of listings and maybe signs that the RBA is close to the top of the rates. But then he went on to say fixed rate mortgage cliff ahead, and that could boost distressed selling. So he thinks the several headwinds are still there. And so don't expect a significant hike in prices anytime soon.
Well, look, I would agree with Shane Oliver in part, and you know my thoughts around this. And that is, unless we start seeing a lot more for sale listings on market, you and I have been talking about numbers for how long now? We've been carrying it and we've been pining on numbers and the importance to look at I've been doing it for a long time, but we've been talking about it in the podcast, in the show, in the rant, even just before the pandemic, and how important it was to keep track of the numbers and what was happening in particular areas. And that's how we look at the markets. Yes, all that economy, economic background, it plays a big part of it as well. But from early 2020, it was even more important to look at the for sale listings, because that created, it just created a different beast. It created, it added more, more, well, it just made the market more harder to navigate through, because you couldn't pick it. Now, again, I go back to this now, to what I've been saying for a while now, and that is Sydney is not a very big market in comparison. I mean, right now we've only got about 7,300 and something freestanding homes on market. I could, the 2048 postcode, which encompasses four suburbs in the part of the Shire, that has 10,000 homes alone, right? So when you're talking about 7,300 and something homes for sale in the Sydney market across 636, it's not a lot. It's not a big pool of properties on market. Mm. Now, Shane says that he feels that the bargain hunters are going to pretty much they run the course, right? I don't believe so much. I really don't, from what I see on the ground. I don't believe so. And what Shane doesn't talk about, there's the other factor, and there's the wife made me do it factor as well, right? So you've got these people that have been waiting on the sidelines from 2018, 2019, they've been waiting on sidelines to come in and get to the point where, as I say, this is just one aspect of it. This is just one part of it, of the many parts that we look at. But you've got this group of people that on their own, yeah, you could sit it out, you could wait it out, you could roll the dice. But when you've got a partner and when you've got a young family, there is that wife effect, and I've seen a lot of that. And on the weekend, I posted one particular auction where I saw two young housewives. Really, I thought they were going to pull out, swords or guns, and it was going to be at 10 paces, it was one of these things. And you see it, you see the emotion market. I see a lot more in the mix of bargain hunters coming. Bargain hunters is one thing, but then you've got families that need to buy, and they want to secure a dwelling for their family. The extended family has just had enough, right? Then on top of this, you've got, yes, Shane talks about the immigration, but a lot of people don't realise, and many are of the opinion that I've spoken to, are of the opinion that the people that are coming in with not very much in the box. Now, that might be the case in point in the past, but what I am getting and what we're with the people that we're talking to, the people that we're inquiring to our business, are people that are pretty much coming in with 30-40% deposits. They've got a lot of money behind them, and not only that, but then you've got the other factor that Shane doesn't talk about, and that is the multi-generational buyers that are also trying to secure the bigger homes as well. So I don't know, Martin. Look, for me, as I say, I need to see at least another 3,000. We need to clock the 10,000 freestanding homes on market, and that's through winter, in order for us not to go back into a panic scenario like we saw in 2021. And I sort of get the feeling, again, this is just my observation, don't shoot me, I get the feeling that there is a lot more demand now than there was back in 2021 and that we saw in 2022, because it's just all those people that have been sitting and waiting on the sideline, because again, they can see, more and more people can see the fix is in. You just can't look at the economy with historical factors that were at play. I mean, look at what's happening with SVB and Credit Suisse and all these other things and all these, we've been played, right? We've been played. We just got to try and stay ahead of those that think and believe that they're in control. That's, I don't know, just my take, Martin. That's from what I see on the ground.
Well, I think that's fair enough. And, Oliver does admit that, it's hard to read and, there are lots of different scenarios that may play out. So we'll watch and wait. But I do think the numbers do speak. And if we look at the Sydney numbers, so this is last week, the 13th of March, and there were 17,039 properties for sale in the Sydney region, right? So it's just over 17. This week, on the 20th of March, down 16,790. So that's another telling story, isn't it?
Yeah, well, and we said last week that we're pretty much starting to walk into the colder months of the year, right? Mm. So your traditional sellers, your traditional sellers, which are downsizers, upsizers, those, let's say, outside of financial pressures or stress, pure financial pressures and stress, right? They're going to wait. They're going to wait it out until spring. I mean, that's just a historical fact. That's since the day dot of wanting to sell a property in Sydney, right? So you're going to get that. So there's a natural retraction. We're going to see that in numbers. How much we see, we don't know. As I said, I'm hoping that we don't go back to having even I'm hoping that we don't hit the mid sixes or the mid 6,000s of freestanding homes because of what we are seeing, the amount of fear of missing out that is out there. Secondly, all these incentives that the government's dishing out, and even if Labor were to walk in, even if Mintz was to walk in and abolish what Perrottet put in place, which I really much doubt it. He would be the most hated premier from day dot. All I can see is there'll be a shift, and there'll be a small tenure, perhaps. But they'll retweak that, right? To rebrand it the way that they want to rebrand. But it'll be another gift. So you've got all these things at play. Now winter, we're going to see this retraction in numbers. But if you're what I am noticing. Is some suburbs, some areas are shrinking, but others, and that could be right next door, that suburb right next door, it's almost doubled in the amount of listings on market. And my conversations with the agents is that there's a lot more coming on in certain areas. So you're going to get this, again, this play of different markets is going to become more apparent. But the mainstream media are going to pick the ones that have stood outside the normal, and there's going to be a lot of chest beating because all I can say because of the numbers and how much above reserve the auction went and so forth. We're going to get those sort of reporters talking and reports and stories online. They're going to be thrown around and the like. But it's very important to continue to look at the numbers for the Sydney region. But when you look at Melbourne, it's a different story. It's really, really a different story there, because all I can see is just although things have slowed down a little bit as well, but not as much. I still think that the Melbourne numbers. Are going to continue to grow, and I'm confident that we will see the 30,000 listings on market in Melbourne, and they'll clock on over winter. Maybe slow, but I can see them clocking on, getting to 30,000 before spring. Again, it's because of what you hear, what you see, what you read. All it's showing me is. No different to what we spoke about in the past, Martin, and that is the fact that a lot of investors from Sydney went and bought stupidly in whoop whoop land in middle of nowhere with no infrastructure out in Melbourne. Why? Because they couldn't afford to buy an investment property here in Sydney because things were getting so far out of reach. And typically, the Sydney siders, they go and buy in two parts of the world when they're looking at new property, and that is homes, and that is they go into Melbourne or they go to WA. So and this is these rate rises are hurting who? Hurting the investors a lot. But there's a lot of investors, Sydney side investors, that have parked the money in Melbourne, and I believe that they're going to do their ass.
Mm. I think that's probably right, and like I said earlier on, a lot of investors are getting very twitchy. Now, if we move to Brisbane, of course, Brisbane is also, sitting around 4743 last week, and then it was 4761, so, not much movement really, but prices are beginning to continue their downslide in Brisbane. And I will make the point, Edwin, that if you look at the Spaces data, so that's an alternative modelling view of what's going on. We are seeing considerable falls now up in Queensland. And in fact, some of the latest data in Spaces is down as much as 20%. So it's an interesting alternative view as to what's going on.
Yeah, look, it is. But as I said in the past, it's really it appears that the numbers that get sold over there just get replaced. So there's still, there's still appetite for Brisbane, for the Brisbane regions. So and people are in a way taking advantage of those as well. So I don't know. It's that again. I don't really look deep into that. So all it shows me is that not so much that there's only 4,000. Like I look at the alternative view to just looking at the low numbers that are on market, but I look at the alternative that there's a lot of properties being replaced, but I can say that that's not what's happening in Sydney. There are aren't a lot of transactions. Yep. It's just that people are literally taking the properties off the market. And hence the reason why we're retreating, and that's the conversations that I'm having with the agents. I wish I could say to to my colleagues on the selling side of things that, hey, but at least you've got a lot of transactions. You talk to them and they're running lean, and they're trimming down more and more. And they say they're going to trim down on their overheads even a lot more as we go into winter if more numbers retreat, because that's just the outcome. The values of properties might go up in a number of suburbs because of the lack of supply, but the transactions will wane, and they'll be very, very minimal, and the bodies or the industry is the real estate industry itself.
Absolutely, and we might just quickly look at the auction stats for the 25th of March and the open for inspection. So there are more in Sydney than Melbourne. Although there are more auctions in Victoria than there are in New South Wales, so go figure.
Yeah, it was interesting, Martin. By Saturday, I did do a screenshot. It's by Friday night, late on Friday night, as to the open inspections, and I honestly thought that Melbourne was going to have more open for inspections on the Saturday than Sydney, but we got to about 20,000. Just over 20,000 open for inspections, albeit across New South Wales, but most of them would be in Sydney. And Melbourne only hit close to 18,000 by the end of the week. So I'm keeping an eye on those figures just to see how Melbourne is going to trend. But my theory as to why these numbers are lower, although they've got almost twice as many homes on the market for sale than we have in Sydney, my theory is that tenants are becoming more reserved or more fastidious, or more the word would be more reluctant to allow agents to have regular open for inspections. At the end of the day, you only have to give reasonable access. The according to the letter of the law. What is reasonable access? You know, in my view, it could be once a week. In their view, it could be once a fortnight. I've got a couple of scenarios here in Sydney where I want to inspect a home, but the tenants have told them that exact same thing here. So because of the rental demand, because of the lack of rental properties, what we are going to see is we are going to see more and more tenants not opt for that midweek inspection, not opt for that open house, and it's going to be harder and harder for the selling agents to have homes open for inspection. It's just, I mean, they can, they're within their right, and like as I said, what is reasonable access? That is all the regulation says, is that you must agree to give the selling agents reasonable access when you sign the lease if the property goes up for sale. So, yeah, as I said, define reasonable, and if you want to take the tenant to task, well, stand in line, because it's a long waiting period at NCAT to hear matters.
No, very good point. And I think the whole tenor of decision making and, you know, why people are doing what they're doing, I think it's a bit up for a little bit of a deeper dive. And I want to make the point again, you've got to go really granular, because there are different dynamics in different postcodes, right? And so aggregate data for Sydney or Melbourne or whatever actually doesn't tell you very much. You need to go down to that next level to really understand what's going on. And there are some very different behaviours in different areas. And so getting that extra insight by going into more detail, I think, pays dividends. Unfortunately, many people don't do it.
No, a lot of people don't do it. But look, the unfortunate thing for, as we just discussed, with tenants becoming less cooperative to allow the agents to have open home inspections. Well, look, if you're a buyer, it sort of works in your favour as well, because then the selling agents become more frustrated, and they want to move on. So if you can sneak an inspection, you'd be there. If that's somewhere in the area you like, there's another free tip for you. You'll know that the agent's going to be a lot more motivated to sell the home as well. The unfortunate on that the other side of that coin is that, hey, if the tenant's on a fixed term lease, well then you've got to wait it out. But that may be the go. But it's so many things at play, I can see so many issues that the industry is going to have moving forward, and it all stems from the lack of rental properties and the situation that we're in right now, around Sydney, where the question is if even if you own a house and you need to sell and you're forced to sell, or you're under pressure to sell, and you think it's a good idea to sell, where do you go? That is, that's the question. Where do you go, and how long is this crisis going to be here for? Before there's going to be enough construction or properties available for you to come back in the area where you like to live.
That's right. And just to emphasise that even more, here is the latest of the granular information, which highlights some of the movers and shakers and some of the different counts. Mossman is up there at the moment with a nice healthy 10, but quite a few other areas a lot lower.
Yeah, it's an interesting perspective here when we see how where you're going to see a lot more auctions. Obviously, look, for me, the numbers are still very low. There's not a lot of enthusiasm. There's people are still, they haven't caught on that some areas are coming up in value, and that narrative hasn't really filtered through. And also the agents, don't forget, they've been telling the story since January that the sky is going to fall, and therefore they need to potential vendors need to list with them ASAP so they can get the best value for their property. I mean, that's just their game. That's just the story that they have to tell in order to secure listings, because there's not a lot of them around. So, but what we see with this, again, just a snapshot from me, apart from the numbers that I've highlighted there, is the fact that there's, you know, in a lot of these areas and a lot of the suburbs, like your St Ives, your Tarramaras and your Mossmans and that, there should be a hell of a lot more auctions going on and been playing out. But I think, again, it's because we are seeing in traditional markets, in established areas, where people's choices are not necessarily because they have to sell or they're forced to sell, they're going to wait out. And I don't see the auction numbers increase much more than what we're seeing. I'd say we've sort of plateaued between the 600 and 700 auctions on a weekly basis, and could be a little bit less as we really hit the strides in winter. Depends if it's a warm winter, if it's a warm and dry winter, or if it's a cold and rainy winter, then it'll be the opposite, because that does play a big part when you're trying to sell a property. Nobody wants to sell in a cold, cold, wet, have an auction on a cold and wet, dreary day.
No, indeed. Well, it does make a difference, doesn't it? Now, what about tip of the week? This is a really important one, right? If you're going toe-to-toe with developers, watch out.
Yeah, choose your battles. Seriously, choose your battles. And it's, again, it's from my observations over the weekend, and just seeing who was out there trying to go toe-to-toe with developers. And look, if, you know, when you go and inspect the property, you know, there's a question that, you know, if you think it could be, if the agent tells you, as you're inspecting the property, or even if they write it down, you know, a potential subject to council approval and this and that, keep on asking the questions, because you're going to get the idea that they are pitching that property to developers as well as yourself. Now, if it's a good deal, right? If it's a good deal and the block of land, because developers see the land, right? Everybody else is caught up in the look of the houses as well, right? The developers just look, put the value on the land as to what they can do, how they can improve the value of the land, and then on sell. So, and one way to piss them off is to go toe to toe with them, because you get emotional about that purchase and the runner, and they will burn you. They will burn you, because they know. That they know when to pull out, and when you've been caught up in this emotional battle. So choose your battles wisely. As I said, we're going into winter. There's going to be a lot less property on the market. We haven't retreated immensely just yet. And again, I say, look at the particular suburbs that you're buying in, because they will also tell a different story. To the overall numbers, that we're looking at, but you just don't go toe to toe with the other individuals that you don't want to go toe to toe with at auctions are your WeChat chatterers, and particularly the rich little aunties. And I'll describe to you the rich little aunties, right? They are these middle aged ladies. Some of them will be pulling a shopping trolley, those portable shopping trolleys that you buy that people use to just go to the local shops and put the shopping in. They'll have a sun visor on or a hat, unassuming. They'll look around and if they start bidding, walk away, walk away. Because around the corner is the bloody G63 Merc, that cost them $400,000 that they'll be getting into. Because I tell you what, and this is properties in the West Martin, we've got a lot of little aunties and a lot of very well-to-be families that are in the North Shore, Upper North Shore, and as we've been saying, they're going to be out in force looking for investment properties. And our team member that was out with me on the weekend was able to talk to a couple of them over the weekend and get to know where they were coming from. And you know what? They had deep pockets, and they were just interested in simply not keeping the cash at home anymore. These are local Chinese. They've been here for a long time. Not keeping the money in the bank because they don't trust banks. They know that long term, it's the values in the land, and they're interested in a rentable home that obviously that they could put multiple occupants in to maximize the rental return. So they're the two people that you don't want to piss off and you don't want to go against because they will burn you.
Yeah, great advice, Edwin. And know your enemy. Right. Very important. And I have to say that quite often when I chat to people about purchasing a property, particularly if it's on a larger plot of land, it's like a sudden realization that there might be other people other than just individual households who are interested in buying. You know, it could be the developer, it could be the multi-generational family. So what that means is that the value assumptions that you've got, because you're looking at it as a single property with a bit of land, is completely different from a developer who can say, well, I can put three subunits on it, etc., or an investor that can actually sublet it. So it changes the economics completely, and it means that you're not actually competing apples and apples, but you're comparing apples with pears. And that is a real shock for a good number of people that I chat with.
Yeah, look, it is. And this is what a lot of people don't understand. Is what I'm noticing more and more in the West is triplex developments. Now, you heard of the duplexes where you just carve up a land lot into two side by side. But what I'm now seeing in the small-time developers that I work with or have looked around for property for in land, their appetite is triplexes because obviously they're going to get a lot more on the block of land, and the houses are going to be smaller, the blocks of land are going to be smaller, but people gravitate to the new shiny shit, right? So,
yeah. And small, that's what new shiny shit.
exactly. So, but and this is where, when I say they will burn you, it's not so much that they'll let it run if they can see the emotion in an auction, because at the end of the day, these are the people that are buying there, so they need the values of freestanding homes to go up in value, because guess what? It helps the development that they're finishing off down the road so that they can sell one of the duplexes for a little bit more than what you're paying for this one because of the mathematics of the way it works. So you're not doing anybody any favors. So if you've reached your limit that you set the day before, not as the auction is running because there's just too much. Set your limits the day before the adrenaline starts kicking in. Yep. But they can tell. A lot of developers, they are great poker players, and that's why I say they'll burn you. I mean, look, I have seen developers burn other people like intentionally and just let it run. But that's don't see a lot. But for them, it's in their best interest for a lot of emotion to play out or to basically the agents to drag in that emotion, because it only adds the value of the new developments that they're trying to sell down the road. And I always say to people, why throw in that 5-10%? Agents all over Sydney can come together. I mean, I wish there was a way to get all the buyers together. You know, when agents do all this shit, underquoting, and they come together and they rip the buyers, right? It's all legitimate and fair. But when buyers get together and try to price things down, it's against the law. It's collusion. Figure that one out.
One rule for them, one rule for us, eh? Edwin, well, I thank you very much, and great to be able to tie the ribbons on the final Oz-based rant. But in a couple of weeks, we'll be back with our international edition, which will be even more interesting, I think, than this. So thank you very much for all your chats over recent weeks and months, and you can have a holiday for a week or two, but I'll be knocking on your door very soon when I'm established over in the UK, and we'll get back into the cycle very quickly. So Thanks for that, and we'll catch up soon.
Yeah, look, definitely. It just puts us a step closer for the global Monday evening property rant, when you can actually go there and interview Putin, and we can see how the property prices are happening in Russia.
Absolutely, yeah.
Ukraine, when you start subdividing that.
all stations all around the world. Yes, the global property rant is coming, folks. Thanks, Edwin. See you later. Cheers. Bye-bye.